Well, hey, everybody, welcome to my first interview, kind of doing this. I'm MJ Bolt, and I've got with me Brian Noble, the CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Brian, thanks for being with me today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, MJ.
Great to be here. So I've asked Brian to start us off in prayer, since this is the debut of this broadcast or podcast or whatever you want to call it. And we are live on Facebook and X right now. So Brian, would you start us off in prayer and let's invite God into our conversation?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful day that you have created. God, we thank you that we serve a victorious God, a God who loves us and cares for us and is intimately acquainted with all of our ways. And Lord, I thank you for the skills and abilities on MJ that you're going to use her to interview many people. God, let her just be anointed in that to speak to hearts and minds and draw out of people the wisdom that's inside of them. Lord, we just bless this podcast to you. We give it over to you and say it's for your glory and for who you are. Lord, we also lift up our nation, our state, yes, our county to you. And Lord, we ask that you would begin to touch, to give wisdom, that we would have a heart of repentance back in the church once again, and that we would turn to you, the living God, knowing that our source of hope and strength is only in you. And so, Lord, let us be good stewards of what you've entrusted to us. Let us be stewards of our freedom, of our neighbors, that we can simply love our neighbors and speak truth and love to them. And we thank you for all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And our prayers and thoughts do go out to everybody in California right now and in other parts of our nation that have suffered so much devastation. And man, it's just been horrific to see what's going on. So definitely our prayers and thoughts are out there to everybody. We just praying for God's blessing upon our nation again, as Brian said. So Brian, thank you again for being with us. And I'm excited to do this with you. This is kind of apropos, I think, because of our history and how we've worked together. And some of you may know that Brian was the chairman of the Spokane GOP before I was, and I served as his vice chair first before he got this role at Family Policy Institute of Washington. And so it's been really fun to work with Brian and get to know him these last couple of years. So Brian, not everybody knows your history and your background. So start this off with sharing it with everybody, like, what's your background, kind of a little bit of your history, how you got to where you are today? I think people are very curious.
Yeah. So I like to say it in a kind of humorous way. I have one wife, four children, three grandchildren. So it's just kind of a fun way to say, you know, to get people's attention. But Tanya and I have been married since 1997, started a ministry about 3 or 4 years prior to that in 97. And so I was a pastor from like 93, 94, all the way up until, today. And so we have four kids. Our oldest, Isaiah, he is a 25-year-old and has three kids. We have three grandchildren, and then we have a special needs child, Isabella, and Gideon and Gabe. They're just, you know, all of our kids and grandkids we just love. And so we've lived either in the Spokane or North Idaho area since 1992. And I was raised in Yakima, so since 74. My family's been here, actually, since the Great Depression, so in the state of Washington. And, so I pastored a lot of years, eventually became the CEO of Peacemaker Ministries, wrote several books for them on conflict resolution and family conflicts and those kind of things. Ran for office in, what was that, 2020, I believe it was?
2022.
22. Okay, so thank you. And ran for office. I did not win, but became the Spokane GOP chair and won that election. And so ran with that for 8 months, I think it was, a kind of a short little window of my life. I don't usually transition through things that quickly. But then Family Policy Institute of Washington called and said, will you be our CEO of both our 501c3 and C4? So I am their CEO of both organizations. And we defend and advance biblical values in the public square. And so we do that through a lot of different ways, from grassroots all the way to lobbying to, you know, those kind of things, that we try to empower the body of Christ to be involved in stewarding what God has entrusted us to us and the freedoms that he's given to us.
Yeah. So you were a pastor and you started out, you are from Sunnyside area, Brian?
Exactly right. Yeah. Sunnyside or Grandview. So I was a Grandview Greyhound, four-time state champion basketball while we were there. Now, just so we're clear, I was in the band, not on the team. I'm not in the team, you know, or whatever. I wasn't a basketball player. I'm not athletic whatsoever. But So my uncle was a state senator. So there was that was the seed that was planted when I was in sixth grade about politics. And then my family has always been, I would say, moderately. We always voted. We always, you know, mildly involved, but it was very much from a conservative, limited government, you know, lower tax kind of ideas, public safety, you know, respect law enforcement. So we always had that kind of upbringing. I'm realizing, like, you're over here, my camera's over here, so I apologize if I'm not looking into the camera, but I'd rather look at you than up there. So we were raised in Yakima Valley, and we just kind of did our civic duty of voting, but that was probably pretty much it, except for my uncle, who was very involved in Washington State as a senator. So becoming a Senator Page, I remember thinking as a sixth grader, I want to be like him someday, you know, kind of thing. In the back of my mind, I've always thought about how do I steward that well? So, like, I did chaplaincy for 20 years, working with the government on fire departments, sheriff's departments, just working with inmates law enforcement. So I kind of had like that pastoral role over the government in Sandpoint specifically. You know, so I've had a heart. I've been around those circles. But really since 2022, you know, when I ran for office, that's when I really, really, really got involved and said enough is enough. When they tried to shut down the church, I said enough is enough.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you a little bit more is kind of, you know, I know this, but what led you into taking that leap into running for office?
So there was two disappointments that I faced, both with my own denomination and then also with the government. It was very complex because I was always taught you respect the government, you listen to the government, you do what they say to the most part. With the understanding of scripture is that if they ask you to do something contrary to scripture, which the Bible is very clear that we are to assemble together and we're not supposed to stop that practice ever. So I mean, it's not like, you know, the assembling of the body of Christ together in the local church is supposed to happen. So that is, you know, what many would call a religious liberty. And So I can remember with my staff at Valley Assembly when I, you know, was executive pastor there, I'd walk around. They're not going to shut down the church. They're just not going to. They're going to respect the Constitution. They won't shut it down. And then sure enough, they did. They shut it down, right? And then my denomination was like, you need to be shut. So I had two tensions happening simultaneously, the denominational tension and the government tension. And so, you know, for me to a certain degree dishonor or disobey both of those tensions simultaneously, I said, we've got to stand up. This is enough. Like, you, as soon as you start touching Christ's bride, then you've gone too far. So when I ran for office, that was what motivated a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is where a lot of us got, you know, involved at a different level. Right. And that's when I met Brian, when he was running for office for our local office here, and I ran for our office as well. So that's where we got to know each other and did a little bit of campaigning together. And so it was awesome to find somebody that, you know, had these values, that was a local pastor. You know, we could talk about God, we could talk about politics, we could talk about what was happening in our state and in our country, you know, around the shutdowns, all of these things that we saw happening in front of us that we never could have ever dreamed would have happened. So yeah, awesome. So tell us a little bit more about what Family Policy Institute of Washington does. Expand on that, because that's a pretty fascinating organization and what they've been doing in Washington State.
Yeah, so Family Policy Institute of Washington was launched by Focus on the Family back in the 1980s. Okay, so there's 42, I think, counterparts of myself across the United States. So there's we're state, local organizations. Some operate only as a 501c4. Some are like us. We have 501c3 c4 status. We have two businesses that we operate. So we're Washington State specific. We handle issues in Washington State. So there's National Family Research Council. That's a national one. Family Policy Alliance. That's a national. We're not national. We're local. And our goal is what's in the name of it. We want to impact policy and get it so it's favorable for the family. So Family Policy Institute of Washington. And so, you know, we work with grassroots to do that. We work with lobbyists. We have a paid lobbyist in Olympia. We work with legislators and senators to do that as well, House reps, and we work with whoever we need, business owners, all that, to get that through. Our goal is to, as we've expanded it, is we used to have four primary issues that we worked on: life, marriage, religious liberty, and gender. And so we primarily worked on those four issues. And so one of the things that, as a staff, we sat down and said, when I came on a year ago, I said, are those the only four issues in the Bible? Because when I read my Bible, there's property tax, there's elections, there's election integrity, Exodus 38, you know, so there's all these other areas of in scripture that we are to take on. There's public safety, there's law enforcement, there's just scales. And so I said, we need to have a more of a biblical worldview or a more expansive worldview and take on other issues. So now we represent 18 issues that we begin to deal with within the public square.
Interesting. Very interesting. And you've been doing this role since, what was it, August or October?
October 23.
Okay.
Yep.
So a little over a year. Yep. And so what has happened since you took on this role? It sounds like you kind of expanded your scope.
Yeah, we expanded our scope, and then we also expanded our influence. So we quickly did a survey of the land, my staff and I, so we have about 8 people on staff. We started realizing, like, what is the strategic plan to win Washington State? And we found out that really, I mean, I'm not meaning this rude, but no one has a plan, right? So we have lots of little pockets of ideas and little scattered things around us. So we started doing research and say, okay, so how many Christians are in the state of Washington, about how many conservatives, because not all conservatives are Christians. So people who we could partner with that would have similar worldviews on certain topics. And then are those people voting their worldview? So we started doing all this research, and some of the things that we found are this. We found that 1.7 million Christians are in the state of Washington that would have a conservative bent. Now, what I mean by that is there's also, let me correct that number. 1.7 million Christians in the state of Washington will vote against their biblical worldview. In other words, I inverted two numbers in my head, so I have to back up. They vote against their biblical worldview. In other words, they say they're a Christian, but they will vote against life. They will vote for expanded government. They will vote for those kind of things. And so that's number one thing that we saw. Number two is we found that there's 1.3 million Christians, and this is what I meant to say, that have a conservative bent who aren't involved. In other words, they're registered to vote. 500,000 of them are registered to vote, and 700,000 or so plus are not even registered to vote. Okay, so we're finding these pockets. And then we saw that there was about 900,000 Christians that would have a biblical worldview and vote that biblical worldview and are actively involved. So that leaves two other pockets. That's the secular pocket on the liberal side and the secular pocket on the conservative side. And that finishes off the 5 million registered voters. So it's about 400,000, 300,000, all these numbers are a little bit rough, right? Because we didn't do a survey of 5 million people to figure out where all this is, but we're looking at four places of research. So we found out, could we win? And the answer is yes. We got to work on apathy, and we got to work on worldview. Those are the two things that FPI. I cued my camera. How do I get it to zoom out? Let me fix that real quick.
You must have pushed a good button.
No, I did this, the hand signals, but I don't remember the hand signals for going out.
There you go.
Oh, there it goes. Oh, there you go. So I won't do those hand signals, but what was I just saying?
Oh, you're talking about just the whole population, your survey.
Worldview and apathy. That's right. So worldview and apathy. I'm sitting on my hands because I talk with my hands. Worldview and apathy. So those are the two things that we want to conquer. So you'll see FPIW over the last year released 30 brand new resources to handle worldview. Okay. We had over 60,000 people read those resources this last year.
Wow.
And so it's like we're handling the worldview, a theological view of government. Where does life begin? Property tax, all these kind of things that, that are in the Bible. The apathy part, we began to say, how do we overcome the apathy of it? And so one of the things that we did in our research is that it's too complicated. It's thousands of emails. It's you got to know all these areas to go to get conservative information. So we created a technology that brings us all together so it's in one spot. So that's the apathy, so that people no longer have an excuse. I don't know where to go. No, it's one spot. You go there, you click one button, and you've done something active in the public square, like register your position or what have you, right? So those are the two Goliaths that you may say that we're trying to overcome is apathy and worldview.
Yeah, it's what you guys have been doing. And I know, we wanted to get on here and talk about your new app, and we're going to go into detail into that. But just even in the past, the resources that you've done, you created a national day of prayer around pray over your ballot, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So we did the national Bring Your Ballot to Church Day. And so we prayed over the ballots. And so we had churches all across the United States. We launched, because you remember, there's 40 counterparts to me. So we launched this all across the United States. And people, we just said, can we just start with prayer? Can we just I know you get a little bit freaked out because you have a wrong view of the Bible and governance. But that you think, hey, separation of church and state, right? People say this a lot. And they think that means that the church should not be involved in the government when about 80% of their Bible has comments about government. It's so foolish. But anyways, I don't think the church should tell you how to vote, but I do think the church should say, these are the principles that you vote on, and we need to pray before we vote. So we started with the simplest one, is praying over our ballots, and bring your ballot to church and you pray over it. And we have churches all across the United States doing that. And it's in essence, if you were to look at it from a grassroots, it's a get out the vote type of program.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, and just something as simple as that, saying, hey, let's start this day. Let's make it a national day of Bring Your Ballot to Church Day. Let's pray over it, and making sure that us as Christians are doing, helping assist that, facilitate that. And I know we launched, helped facilitate that in a lot of churches around here in Spokane this last year. And it was, largely successful. I mean, we've got a ways to go. There's a lot of potential there, mm-hmm. but we got a lot of people engaged through that. So that was really cool.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the things. I mean, I know you've been,
well, you and I wrote a curriculum together called Adopt a Voter, right? So we said, okay, whether you're a Christian or not, do you find it important that we make sure that the next generation votes or my neighbor votes, and not even necessarily telling them how to vote, but just that they do to vote. I mean, that's a freedom that we have that we need to steward very well. And so, I think you wrote the first draft, and then we kind of put it into graphics. I did the graphics part and you got the content part, and it became a beautiful product that many people started to work on, to adopt a voter and say, I'll be responsible for these 10 people.
Yeah. You're way too humble. You did the majority of it. It was just the idea. It was like a PTA phone tree, going back to the PTA days, at least when I grew up, and my mom, they'd call each other to make sure stuff happened. It's like, if we could go back to that principle of, hey, call in, I've got 10 people I've got to call, and they're going to call 10 people. And did you get your ballot turned in? Did you get your ballot turned in? Like, yes, if you want more resources, you want to know what I think about voting, I'd be happy to give it to you. But just, did you vote?
Exactly. And that's that 1.3 million that are involved, right? I mean, so even if we just got them involved, I mean, even if it's the wrong way, it's better that they at least try to do something. So anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I think a lot of what you're talking about too, you know, you identified the apathy, you identified, you know, the complexity of these issues. And we're going to talk about ledge session, the upcoming Washington State legislative session as well. And it is, there's all these different layers that can make it really complex, and people are busy and people have lives and they have kids and they have, you know, burdens and stuff. But unfortunately we can't just stay, you know, out of this arena any longer. As Christians, we have to get involved. And that's why I think where both Brian and myself found ourselves a couple years ago going, okay, we have to get involved. We can't sit on the sidelines, and because this is what's happened. Now our constitutional freedoms are being taken away. So it's time to get involved. And that's what I love about what you're doing, Brian, what I saw you doing before this role, what I see you doing now, you know, and as CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. It's super exciting. So let's dive into this app.
So I want to comment.
Go ahead.
Just said. So the picture life is like a submarine. If you're in a submarine and you're not the pilot of the submarine, you're not the commander or the, you know, whatever, you're not any position, you're just a guest in the submarine, right? Now, everything's fine as long as that submarine isn't leaking water, right? I mean, you're fine. You're encapsulated with everything that's okay. But as soon as that submarine starts leaking water, you got to get involved to whatever degree. And if the captain says, put your thumb in that one hole to stop the leak there, and someone else, he says, put your thumb over there to stop the leak there, it takes us all coming together. And it may be just putting our thumb in a hole. I know this analogy breaks down because the water would be more pressure, blah, blah, blah. But get the picture. If there's leak, if there's a problem with our freedom, it may not be a huge, but it's each of us putting our finger in the hole to stop a little bit of the leaking of our freedom away, right? You know, and so it's not that we're like, oh, we want to go get involved because, you know, we're angry and upset. No, we want to get involved because our freedoms are starting to leak, and we're in a crisis situation, and we need to go back and steward that well.
Yep, absolutely, and. And you've been living that, you know, and we've both been trying to walk that out, encourage others to get involved. So you have this new exciting technological product that you guys are launching or in the process of. So Brian, get into that and share that with everybody about what you have as a tool for people to get more engaged.
All right. So I'm going to share my screen if you can. There we go. So over here, I have a web browser, but right here I have the app. And so it's the Washington Defender app, Washington Defender app. You can download it in the Apple App Store or the Google Play. And so once you've downloaded, we quickly realized is that there is a lot of conservative voices out there that are really, really good, but they're scattered. Like, you have to know who they are. So we wanted people to be able to learn together. So we created a learn page that we can begin to learn. And we'll place news, Defender news up there. But we said, hey, there's a lot of voices on the conservative, like the Carrie Abbott Show, Family Policy Institute of Washington, whoops, it scrolled a couple down, Washington Policy Center. You know, there's Ari Hoffman, there's Church and State, Courageous, you know, all these different podcasters. And yes, I will say this right off the bat. Not all these people are going to agree on every single issue. You're going to have moderate conservatives. You're going to have ultra conservatives. You're going to have everything in between. But our goal was to say, okay, if anyone has an ounce of conservative blood in them, in other words, they may say, I want lower property tax, I'm going to work with them because that helps the elderly people be able to afford their properties, right? And I may not agree on 100 other issues, but I'm going to work with them on property tax. If someone says, I don't really care about everything else, but I do care about having a society that has law abiding and equal justice, well, we're going to work with them. Now, obviously, we love when people, you know, agree with us 99% of the time, but what we don't want people to have to go 1,000 different directions to find these information. So we wanted to be able to learn together. So there's a lot of information. You'll be seeing MJ's podcast in here as well. You know, you'll be seeing all different voices from East Coast to West Coast of Washington State, or East Coast, East Side to West Coast of Washington State. and so forth. And so then you have different news sources like Legislative Review, Inside Olympia, you know, all this is so we can learn together. Again, our focus is Washington State, but some people do want national, so they can go into that national page and do that. A shameless plug is legislative session starts on Monday, and we are doing a prayer tour every single day of legislative. So if you want to sign up for that, pick your day, get a preview tour. You can do this just by clicking on this, and it takes you over to our website, and you can sign up for being on the prayer tour. So that's where we wanted to learn together. Because here's what I noticed, MJ. Maybe you've noticed this as well. Oftentimes, people took a position on a person or on a issue or a bill based on an echo chamber, collection method, right? So in other words, they've only heard one side of the story. And my conflict resolution tells me after I've talked to someone, it seems right, but then I talk to the other person and all of a sudden you're like, oh wait, there's more to the story. So we wanted one place from ultra conservative. I don't even know if I believe in that term, but I'm just using it to give a spectrum to moderate conservative could have a voice where people could go and find these individuals. Now somebody say, well, you missed so-and-so or you missed so-and-so. Let us know. We'll add them. You know, we'll try to platform. We're not saying that we got everyone. This is why we're soft releasing this. So that was number one. And then I'll go to huddle unless you have.
Yeah. Before you go do that though, to share with people what this prayer tour is. I think that's
so the
really
prayer
cool.
tour is, let me give you the preview here. And again, all this is on the website or here. It is a place where we stop at these different things and we have a checklist of what we're going to pray about. So we're going to meet at the flagpole at 9 o'clock on Monday morning, first day of, and we're going to pray over these things. And then we're going to go over to the Temple of Justice and we're going to pray over these things. And then we're going to go over to the House Seal and we're going to pray over these things. So it walks you through Olympia praying over these topics. We're going to go to the governor's office and we're going to pray over these things. The Bible clearly tells us that we're supposed to pray for those in leadership, our lieutenant governor's office, pray over these things. So that's what we're going to do. Inside of here, it's really cool is that you will... have either on your phone, this is public information, but you will have a printed copy or on your phone an entire, let me go to the end of the tour. You'll have an entire, that's your self-tour part. You'll have an entire prayer journal for every legislator. Now, they haven't updated their pictures yet, so some people, we don't have pictures yet, but we will update this as we go. So you'll have all the House and Senate.
That's people. Very extensive. I mean, that's quite an extensive tool to have, right?
Yeah.
At your fingertips. Yeah.
And so either electronically or in paper, you'll have a prayer guide, with pictures that you can pray for people.
And so is that just a certain time during the session or is there something going on every day?
Yeah. So we're going to have people there Monday through Friday. I know that they can go into Saturday sometimes and Sundays, but Monday through Friday, we will have a group there praying. So we do have some open dates. When you go down, you can see these are the dates that a church, a small group, a Bible study, Kiwanis, whatever, these different organizational groups that pick a day to pray. And so, you know, we have the ones without, we don't have someone there, but our staff will backfill any days that don't have someone there. So
obviously,
we would love, obviously, we do the tours, but we would love for people to join us in prayer on those days. If you're unable to go to physically to Olympia, go to our website, download the prayer tour. Let us know that you're doing it and just pick a day and pray over those spots. You know, even though you can't physically be there, obviously remotely is great as well. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. So back to the app, because I think that was just a really cool, facilitation that you all have done around this prayer tour for our legislative session. And Lord knows we need God involved in all the above. So.
Amen. Yeah. So the learn section is to learn together. And what happens in the learn and activate is any information that's hosted inside of the app can be shared in a huddle. So what we found, let me say that again. Any information hosted in the app under Learn or Activate can be shared in a huddle. What we found is that the conservative base primarily uses emails. And if you're like me, you end up with thousands of emails. So then I end up reading none of those emails. So we wanted to create a platform where people could huddle together, and we have private and or public huddles. So in here, you're going to see, I'll give you an overview and then I'll go more. So you're going to see the general huddle, right? So the Washington Defender huddle. If you go in there, you're going to be able to post. Here, Nancy Churchill has posted on something. You're going to be able to, you know, comment, pray over that. You're going to be able to share that from huddle to huddle. You can do actions. So for instance, once we have bills moving through committee this starting next week, you will have one click register your position. So you're not looking through hundreds of emails. You're just simply clicking on your phone and doing that. Now, sometimes those bills have timeframes, so we can be built into the system where your phone will remind you with a notification because you self-selected to get that notification. I got to do this between 9 and 10 today, right? And it will ding your phone to remind you. And then I did it. We want to celebrate. So we have, you know, pre-assigned buttons, we have notifications, and we have buttons. So as legislative session goes, you're going to see actions and then events. We now have the ability to instantly put you into a video call with your senator or house rep. So you're not chasing Zoom links all across your whatever. We can just instantly put them into a huddle, and it can be video on your phone.
That's awesome.
So that's every huddle can do this, by the way. I just showed you the one that's public for everyone.
Very cool. Very cool. And so, and your idea about this too is like different groups, you know, Spokane could have a local group that could do a huddle, or Spokane right. GOP, or, you know, maybe Valley Assembly Church in Spokane, or, you know, the your parents group from a school could do a huddle.
Let me show you this. So we have our special interest strategic partners, which we have well over 30 to 40 strategic partners. So they all have their own private huddles. So those, you know, My Faith Votes, all these are private huddles. We have people like who say, you know what, I need a little bit more than a huddle. I do articles. I do those kind of things. So she, you know, Nancy Churchill, she has her own page that also has huddles where she can write her action alerts, and she becomes contributor to it. She does a lot of bill information and articles. So she has her own huddles as well, her own page and huddles. Iwatha is in here. So they have their topics. And these are all private huddles. So if border and security huddles, what you want to join on Eastern Washington, you can jump into one of those. And, you know, as Iwatha builds this out, they also have their own page as well, and it goes to their website. But like you said, churches can huddle, right? We don't have all of our churches in here yet because we want people to have leadership. But here's a couple examples. Small groups can huddle. Then county defenders, here these are public, you can see that, so you can publicly go in and talk about your county, what's happening. But then we had a grassroots organization that said we want to provide our own system that parallels other systems that, you know, are in the political realm. So these are all private. So there's the grassroots, they have a post here, they have their own page. There's the Spokane County Grassroots Leadership. There's Spokane Grassroots 3A, and all the precincts or grassroots that go correspond with them are built in here for private huddles. Now, we're not politically involved. These are grassroots leadership that of people who say we want to be a Washington defender and do it. The party is something separate, but they wanted these grassroots leaders wanted their numbers to match so that people instinctively knew where to go and to join those huddles. So there's that private grassroots leaders. Right now how we've entrusted that to move forward. And, you know, we've entrusted to say who's the current grassroots leaders in those precincts. And let's go out and pursue them. We haven't done this yet, but pursue them to see if they'll run the huddle, because they're already been voted in by their people. So might as well be good to go. City defenders. You know, we don't have all the cities in here, but we'll add them as they go. But people who care about their city, school boards, people who care about their school boards. Of course, we don't have them all in here, but we're as people come on, we're creating these to go and so on and so forth. So, yes, anyone who wants to run a huddle, whether it be private or public, can. We want conservatives to come together and do that.
And this is all, again, through the app. So remind people how they can find this app, because I know a lot of people just joined us, Brian. So tell people how they can find
that. So app. On the Google Play or Apple App Store, they can go to search out Washington Defender. Washington Defender. And they're going to see this icon, and that's, they can download it there.
Okay. Awesome.
So the whole idea is, how do we get private or public huddles? And I'm just going to say private for right now. So how do I get my 10 friends and I to easily be able to take political action and debate that? And what could be the platform to do that? So if we learn together, and I want my 10 people to, let's say like national, well, let's find something local, Smarter Without Cell Phones. I think my group needs to know this. I share this into my huddle, and now my 10 friends or 20 or 100 or 1,000, whatever it is, can get that information, right? And then they have it. But the other cool part is, as we go through legislative session, you're going to see bills start to drop and being able to file those bills. So this takes you, this page, this pre-filed bills is actually this page right over here. I just have it so it's bigger and not on my phone. But so we start commenting on these bills. But Nancy Churchill does as well, who may be a little bit more moderate than FPIW is. I know that you're going to be meeting with others. I don't know if we want to say their name, but later today, Julie, do you want to say who?
Yeah. Julie Barrett from Conservative Ladies of Washington.
May be a little bit more like us, a little bit more conservative. I'm using loose title. So we want multiple bill advisors to say, hey, these are what you should register your position on. Now, I've had people say, well, what if Nancy says one way and Julie says another? I'm like, guess what? We're adults. We get to read what Nancy says about it, and we can read what Julie says about it. We can share whichever perspective we want into our huddle and then take that action, right? I mean, aren't we conservatives that believe in free speech and free markets and free thought and free ideas? It is so okay if we don't agree, and we don't have to demonize each other while we do that. So yeah. I'm not afraid if two different people, and I'm just using them as an example. I'm not saying that all their decisions may be the same. All their decisions may be different. I'm just using them as an example. So in this feed, which it's pretty blank right now because it starts Monday, you will have buttons like this. This is a sample button put over there that will have your ability to follow these bills in one spot. And you'll have like, oh, there's FPIW's feed. Oh, this is FPIW's positions on these bills. Oh, there. Now, with Julie Barrett, we haven't formed a relationship yet, but hopefully. Oh, there's Julie Barrett's feed. There's her position on these bills. And it's one place to see a variety of conservative thoughts on those things. And then we feed that into our huddle and we take the action that we want. Now, anyone can go out of the huddle and choose not to do what their huddle says as well. I mean, they all have the activate button. But are you getting the concept? And that's shared in there. The liberals are out registering their position to us 100-1. So when we get one conservative to register the position, we get 100 liberals to that will do that as well. So this is when an elected official says something like, the constituents say, I want this. Well, they get that information from testimony. They get that information from register your position. Don't zoom my camera again, however I did that. Registering your position. They get that from written testimony. They get that from, you know, so that's where they make that statement from. So as conservatives, we want to give you a simple way to let we the people's voice be heard, period.
Right.
With multiple conservative contributors on the spectrum, moving out of that echo chamber of we only listen to one side. And by the way, some of you are like, you're compromising. Okay, so is Trump compromising? Having Elon Musk, who's a proclaimed Democrat, is he compromising? Having Tulsi Gabbard, is he compromising? I mean, can I just go down the list? No, each of those people, although Trump doesn't agree with each one of those completely, there's an element he agrees with them, and we're going to capitalize on that element of agreement and try to get something done in that one space. And that's what we're trying to do here.
Yep. We're, and that's the thing. I think people need to understand that. I think you and I understand that is we're not going to agree on everything. You know, right. I'm, you know, where you are going to, how you're going to take your coffee drink. And I don't mean to belittle the issues because there's some major, very important issues. But, you know, for example, how you like your coffee or how you order your coffee at the coffee shop when you and I go have coffee and brainstorm about these ideas is probably going to be a little different than how I like my coffee. And that doesn't make you wrong or right. It just makes, you know, we're different. And we and don't
some people will drink tea.
And some, yeah. And sometimes I do too.
Right.
Other things, right? You know? Yeah. So but we gotta get away from this all or nothing. That's not reasonable. That's not who God created us to be. We're all individually unique and we find where we can agree upon. And we stop kind of doing this thing where, oh, they're a rhino because, you know, this one decision on who they're supporting. I mean, that is just not helpful. Now, you know, we might find that there are some people that don't align with a lot of our decisions. And so maybe we go, I'm not sure I'm going to support that person, but it just because of one, I've been called all the above, Brian, I don't know about you.
Me too.
About in the same day. I think I've been called all the above in the same day.
I
in a 24 hour period. Yes, I just call it a rhino, an extreme right, and a moderate
Christian
and
nationalist,
mainstream.
A moderate, yes. Spineless, so courageous. I mean, all these things in the same exact day. And the reason is because what people don't understand is that politics is negotiation. Now, what I think a lot of our elected officials don't do well is they don't articulate what they negotiated for. And right now, it seems as if the conservative side is always negotiating away our rights. And so we're frustrated. I get it. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the ship isn't turned around overnight. So we need to find areas of agreement. I'm going to tell you, I believe that life starts at conception and ends at natural death, period. You're never going to change my mind on that, ever. But will I work with someone who wants to save babies at 12 weeks? Yes, I will. Or 6 weeks? Yes. Why? Because we save a third or two thirds, you know, whatever. I will work with them. That doesn't mean I believe in that position. I'm going to save as many people who are drowning as I can. Doesn't mean I believe in that position. Maybe someone says, I believe in big government, but I do believe that we should have just scales in our Justice Department. I'm going to work with them. I don't believe in big government. I believe in limited government. In fact, the less government, the better, right? I mean, I'm going to work with them. And so this is where I believe Trump is showing us conservatives as an example. And by the way, I want to say this. Most of us, prior to 2016, maybe 2015, would have labeled Trump a Democrat. People forget this.
He was a Democrat.
Now, he had contributed for years to both campaigns because he wanted favor to on the Democrat and Republican side, but he mostly contributed to Democrat and had Democrat ideas. So but he was a Democrat who believed in his nation, right? So he believed in that. So am I ever going to be a globalist? No, I'm not going to give up on that. I believe in my nation. I believe God sets up nation and division of power for a reason, because men are and women are instinctively evil, and therefore because of our sinfulness, he has to divide power among men, among people. So I believe that. But am I going to work with people to negotiate? Yes. And then I think our elected officials need to explain what they got for what they negotiated away. I mean, we've got to get to a point where we have clarity. And so that's what we want to do, provide platforms where people can, talk and really understand how decisions are made. So.
Right. And plus we can dive into this issue together, you know, by the collaboration, you and I working together or 10 of us working together and looking at a bill, we can dissect that a lot better. And sometimes, I mean, listen, legislators are human too, right? They can make errors. They can make, you know, maybe they didn't think through the consequences of this proposed legislation. I mean, I was on the State Board of Education and we found that. I mean, we would kind of dive in. We're like, oh, this is not good. And we'd work with our legislators on an amendment. So us coming together, we're going to be better than if we are trying to do this in isolation or in silos. And so there's another benefit with that as well, I think. So.
Exactly right. And I've ran the numbers. I can show you all the spreadsheets. We cannot if we're going to go with 110% or 100% purity of every issue, I'll just tell you, we'll never win. And it's the same thing as raising kids. I will tell you that there's hills to die on and there's hills not to die on. And you're not trying to create a kid into your image. You want them to be created into the likeness of Christ, right? And so, but if you die on every imperfection, you will have chaos in your home and chaos wherever you go. So if you leave that unstewarded, you will also have chaos. You have to find the way through relationship and through, I spilled my coffee, so I'm trying to clean it up here, through relationship and through conversation to produce new ideas, new thinking, new behavior, new things. And so there's a carrot and a stick, and I believe you have to know when to use it, at what times to use it. There's a time we get to choose the leadership, that's during our primary. There's a time that holds leadership accountable, that's during legislative session. I mean, so there's all these different tools, and you don't use the same tool at the same time, at the same place every time.
Right, for sure. We'll have to have you on again, Brian, and kind of dive into the Peacemaker ministry, you know, expertise. I think you have a lot to offer there as well. I know I've learned a lot from you, you know, about kind of how to navigate life's interesting opportunities. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. So great app, amazing app where you can get in there, you can create these huddles, you can create these communities, but also just to engage with the legislation as well in an easy way. You can, you know, so let's talk about, we've got legislative session coming up starting on Monday. And so you will be interfacing with those bills. And like you showed, you'll have your guys' feed. So maybe your take on it, as well as maybe what the action item people can take on that is. So am I correct in thinking that you can just, hey, click here and you can sign in to register your position right
One
through
click.
Your app?
One click. And we'll have it still on fpiwaction.org. So we'll have it in both places, because we know some of our constituents are, you know, in their 70s or 80s, and they're used to going to a website, and that's just how they do it. So we'll have it both spots and one app. And we will also be, this is something that FPIW is aiming to do. We've bought all the equipment to go to Olympia every Tuesday, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll be there interviewing Democrats, Republicans, and Independents to see the backstory on bills. And so our goal is to hear, okay, how do we have a conversation about these? How do we talk about these bills? So instead of, you know, casting the first stone, let's talk about it. Now, I'm realistic enough to know that legislative session moves fast enough. I'm not going to be able to interview. I mean, if you go to the list right now, I think there's 400 or 500 bills up already. But
well, those are just the pre-filed bills.
Those are pre-filed, exactly. So I know but I'm trying to model. It's like, before we cast a stone, let's ask a question. Help me know the story behind this. Help me understand, you know, what your thinking is behind this. I hope that we will have some Democrats who will take us up on that.
Yep.
Realistically, I will say this, during the election, we did have Democrats come and interview with us. So that was encouraging, because I don't want to create a gotcha, but I really want to understand, like, what are you thinking? But help me understand the behind the scenes for this bill. I really need to understand. So I want to do that. And that may solidify a previous position I already had that may also change my mind. I don't know. So we're going to do that through technology and bringing people on and interviewing about bills. So we'll give you the one step how to register your position, the one step how to, register to testify remotely or in person, and obviously the prayer part as well. I probably should start with the prayer, because, you know, but yeah.
Yep. That's awesome. That's exciting. So what else? Exciting app. Really excited to get that out there in people's hands and get people using that, interfacing with it. I think it's an exciting tool that we can use and engage with. Again, it's all of us engaging, getting involved, having ownership in the process, right? So what else are you, in looking forward to the legislative session, Brian, like, what else are you thinking about? Are there bills that are top of mind? Are there, you personally Family Policy Institute of Washington, like, how are you preparing, setting the stage besides some of the things that you've already talked about?
Sure. So one action item on the app is we need huddle moderators. And so if you want to lead a huddle, call us, get a hold of us, say, I want a huddle. That's the next step. And then you got to start filling the people in your huddle to make it effective. So close action step. That's your action step. We are watching many bills along with if you go to FPIW Action, they're there, and or in the app, you can get there as well. But one of the bills that really is coming up is SB 5077. It's concerning the expansion of voter registration services by the government agencies. And so one of our hopes is to lobby and to get back to free and fair elections. And so we want to we're against this bill at this point. Of course, it hasn't gone to committee, so it could, you know, could change our minds later. But we want free and fair elections. There's also something I was trying to get down here, expanding protection for certain students to promoting inclusivity in public schools, SB 5123. We are against this bill as well. We understand that there are people who have making major decisions over their life about their sexuality, about their gender, about all these things at a very young age. And so we think that this promotes in the wrong direction. I recently interviewed a young man who is at a public school. In his locker room, young women are coming in and changing their clothes there because they're claiming to be men. And so it's the opposite of what you're usually hearing in the press, where it says that men are going into the girls' locker room. It was girls going into the boys' locker room. And so, you know, we understand that we should not be rude or obnoxious to anyone, period, end of story. That does not mean that we create legislation and or movements within our culture that celebrates and or people who are struggling in these areas. So we have those. And then there's a lot of bills that may not even make it to committee that we like. There's bills on transportation and, you know, different things that we think are really good.
Well, and I think those bills that oftentimes, because of our minority in the legislature, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of our conservative legislators propose bills that oftentimes don't even get a hearing. And I think that's one of the things that we can do is try to help create that political pressure to help change that. And
exactly right.
Right. And so, you know, if you've got a list of those bills too, please, you know, maybe we get you on here again, help promote that. Or if, you know, we'll find out what other kind of ways you're doing to promote those to help create that political pressure. And that's one of the things that I'm learning. I think you've probably learned too, Brian. A lot of this we need to try in the court of public opinion. We need to get the information out there. We need to make it easily accessible. You know, this is the way your legislator is voting. Did you know that?
Right.
I just was doing research this morning. We in Washington State, we have 6 congressional members that voted against the Lake and Riley Act, mm-hmm. against it. And none of the senators in our state did. So both Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell, there was only 9 nationwide that voted against it, and they weren't one of them. But 6 of our Congress representatives did.
Right. Yeah. Do people know that? And then so that's why when those huddles come in, you start sharing that so people know the information. And that's where we're saying, how do we create a platform where we move away from email and thousands of emails? Because, you know, the open rate of email is anywhere between 3% and 13%, right? So that's a range. Now, if it's a really good email, you might get 20% or 30% to open it. But typically, no, it's 3 to 13. And so how do we get people more easily and actively engaged to be informed? It's stewardship. It really is understanding and how to do it in bite-sized pieces. So, no, I didn't know that. I was unaware of what you just said. And I think that's where we need people to share that information, share it out there. Yeah. So.
Well, and that's, you know, doing our part together. We may not be able to do it all. We can't do it all our own. We need each other, right? Doing
right.
each of these things. Any final thoughts, Brian, that you'd like to share with people or give them the resources, you know, where to go? You shared about the app. Where do people go to connect with you? Yeah.
Yeah. So some people are saying, I just don't want an app. Go to fpiwaction.org, fpiwaction.org. You will be able to find all this information there as well. You click on the legislation button up in the top right, or excuse me, top left, and you can follow us there. For others that liked that technology on their phone and to instantly obviously download the Washington Defender app. Finally, know this, if we complain behind the scenes and never make our actions productive, we won't get anywhere. So start with prayer. Start committing every morning. I wake up, Lord, I give you the state of Washington. And I'm sure there's mornings I miss. So I'm not claiming I'm A on this, but my heart is, I give you the state of Washington. Let righteousness stand. Let there be justice for every single person. You know, I pray over the governor, give him wisdom, you know, so let's start prayer. Let's just start praying. And remember, when we enter through the pearly gates in heaven, it's not going to be, are you a Democrat or a Republican? That's it's right. Going to be, did you stand for, do you love Jesus Christ? Period. You know, did he forgive you of your sins? And so therefore these other areas that God calls us to pray, we need to pray over them like he has said for us to do in the Word of God, and then take practical action as the Holy Spirit guides you and directs you. You know, writing, we've given you every email of every elected official in Washington State. You can instantly email them, let them know, you know, you can adopt an elected. We're starting that program where you can say, I'm picking this Democrat to pray for them. We'll send them a nice little formal letter that just says someone's praying for you and this is the name of that person. And, you know, so we just need to start building these kind of bridges to people and yet taking courageous stands that say, nope, enough is enough. Free speech is free speech. Religious liberty is religious liberty. You know, these are the things we're not going to compromise on, the Bill of Rights that we've been given both in the state of Washington and the United States that are just incredibly important. So,
yeah. Awesome. Well, amazing tools and just amazing work, Brian. And it's just been a pleasure of mine to work with you and have you on today. And I hope this is the beginning of many more. I think we're going to continue to partner. I know right now we have a training, Brian, because of the Peacemaker role that he did trainings and kind of like mediations all across the country with businesses and churches and even personal. And he learned how Robert's Rules of Order was a huge critical tool in a lot of those situations. So Brian does some amazing training on Robert's Rules of Order and on bylaws and how important your bylaws are.
Yeah.
And so we are doing a training next Wednesday, the 15th at 4:30. And so you'll be able to find us right here on my X account at MJ Life is Good. Or you can also email me at mjbolt356@gmail.com to get a link for the class. And we're going to be doing a live training on that on next Wednesday. So I know there's going to be other things we're going to be doing as well, but we don't know all those things yet. So I'm looking forward to continuing to work with you. And then just again, thank you, Brian, for stepping into these roles, you know, for keeping God first and foremost as well. You've just been a champion and it's just been such a great pleasure to work with you and collaborate with you on so many things. I know we're just going to continue to do that.
That's right. One last thing is, obviously, you know, it takes finances to run FPIW Action, FPIW. Our biggest donor base is our small base, right? So we love when people give $10, $20, $25. We're building that broad reach. And so at FPIW Action, it's non-tax deductible, and FPIW, it is tax deductible. So the more that you can give to the non-tax deductible, the more freedom we have to say our opinions. I'll just say it that way. So
yeah,
because awesome. The 501c3, you know, you can't say your opinions, but the 501c4 we can. So love for small donors to come in, and we want to find finally more content providers like MJ, who's doing a tremendous job to platform. So if you're out there, we want to grow that so that conservative voice becomes louder and louder in the state of Washington. So God bless you guys.
Yes. Thank you again. And Brian, Family Policy Institute of Washington is on X at FPIW, correct? That's a good place for people to follow. And is there anything else that you'd recommend for people to follow along?
Nope. I think we covered them. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, let me just pray over you, because I just want to bless you, Lord. Just thank you so much for this time, Lord. I just thank you for Brian and his family and all the work they're doing, Family Policy Institute of Washington. Lord, I just bless them, and I thank you for them, and I thank you for the favor that surrounds them as he goes forward into these different areas and working with the legislators and finding common ground, whether they're Republican or Democrat, right? Lord, they're humans, and we know we have a lot in common. So help us to come together and see the just the tactics of the enemy in trying to divide us. And I know that Brian is very wise. God, I thank you for the wisdom that you give him. And again, that you just bless his feet, his hands, his words, and continue to bless what he's doing with Family Policy Institute of Washington. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Brian, again, for spending time. And
oh, you're welcome.
Look forward to hearing more. All right. Take care.
Take
care. See you, everybody.
So I have another appointment, but I'll